thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Friends, we'll pray before we go any further. Father, we just thank you that we are here tonight. And again, we thank you, Lord. Our prayer would be that, oh Lord, will you invade with your glory tonight, Lord? Will you invade with your glory in our midst tonight, Lord? We just want to see you afresh tonight. Yes, friends, many of us are on the road with them for many years, for many of us. But we just want a fresh glimpse of our Saviour tonight. It's all we ask, Lord, just a fresh glimpse. And for those who may be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus and you haven't made a decision as yet in your life, our prayer would be that tonight would be the night that you would come to know Jesus as your own personal Saviour and friend. There is no other way. There is no other one but Jesus. In your wonderful name we ask it, Lord. Amen. And amen. I don't know if any of you are aware, but there is a certain football tournament on at the moment called the World Cup. Maybe some of you are sick to death of it already and have seen enough of it to do you for a lifetime. But I want to just go down the route of looking at a football match in a different way from here on in, I hope. When you see it the next time it's on TV. I haven't a portion of scripture to bring to you tonight, but I'm going to give you a verse of scripture to start off with, and we'll go through verses of scripture as we go through tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says this here, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Friends, this is just going to be a simple gospel message tonight. And that's all I hope it's going to be. And that everyone would get something from it. As you all know, football's on at the moment. It's almost on from morning to night. I hear the complaints in my house at home. I've been involved in football in different capacities over the years. I was reasonably good at it at a certain level, never got to any great heights. But then afterwards, I went into the refereeing side of football. And I still do that, and I still enjoy it most Saturdays. And I just want to bring to you tonight just what are two wee thoughts I get from it, and what I need and what it says to me, and so what I think and what I want to bring over to you tonight in relation to just going out onto a football pitch, and what I can see out of it, and what I hope you'll see out of it now moving forward. So as a referee, when I go to a football match on a Saturday, and I'm going to ask a question. See, Glenn, Liam's a good football man there, Phil as well. If I'm going as a referee, what do I need on a Saturday to referee a football match? Anybody? Glenn? Huh? A watch. Well done, mate. And I have a watch in here, that's one. And you're right, Glenn, two watches, because sometimes you don't want to be caught out if one watch breaks down, so you need two watches. So very good, well done, son. Did your mommy tell you that answer? Anything else? What else do you need? A whistle. Who said that? Who did that? You're watching too much football. A whistle. You need a whistle. And I'll tell you something else. You need two whistles as well, just in case one of them would break down. Okay. Anything else? What else do you need? Well done, Lauren. Flags. And I've got two flags here. Now, obviously, as the referee, I don't use the flags. On a Saturday, I would give the flag to one representative from each team, and they just tell me if the ball is in or out of play. Simple as that. Anything else? Who said that? What did you say, Mary? Oh, hi. The dark arts. You're right, Mary. You need a yellow and a red card, and you need a wee book to take the names of all those who are giving you grief. Okay. Anything else you can think of? There's one other thing that I do need to have going out onto the football pitch. Yes, you do get, yes, there is a fee, and it's non-taxable as well. Is this going out in Zoom by any chance? One other thing that I need that's important. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it's needed. Who said it? What'd you say, Glenn? A coin is correct. You need a coin as well. And that's basically the basics of what you need as a referee. Now, what can I bring out of this here? Just a few thoughts, folks. Number one, at the start of the game, two captains come to the middle of the pitch and we toss the coin. And whoever wins the toss of the coin gets to choose what direction they're playing. And the other team gets the kickoff. That's all that's simply done at the start of a game. And when you watch TV the next time, you just watch them when they're doing that, okay? The flags at each side, if the ball goes out for a throw-in, what way is it? Is it this way? Or is it that way? It gives the direction of what way the ball goes. Same for free kicks. Free kick. Or if you're offside, the linesman or the assistant referee, as they're called now, puts the flag up and calls you offside. The flag and the coin talk about the direction of the decision. And that's the first question I want to ask you tonight, friends, here in church. What direction are you going in? And that's when I think on Saturdays, I always think about this. What direction am I going in? What direction are you going in? Where is life taking you tonight, friends? What direction is your life taking you in tonight? If you're outside of Christ, you're lost tonight. If you're outside of Christ, you're out of touch with God's plan for your life. If you're outside of Christ, you're following a sinful life, and I have a funny feeling that you know you are in a sinful life. And you're going in totally the wrong direction, friend. You're going away from God. Everything that you're doing is going away from God. It's totally and utterly in the wrong direction. So to me, the coin and the flag speaks of direction. And that challenges me about the direction in which I'm going in life. If you're outside of life, or if you're outside of Jesus and God, as I said, you're in the wrong direction. But here's a challenge to the brothers and sisters and our Christian friends in here tonight. You know, I read about Lot in Genesis 13. He was along with Abraham and the herdsmen fell out. They weren't really gelling together, so they made a decision to go their different ways. And Lot made a decision, but he went and totally and utterly the wrong direction. And I know tonight that many of you have made the correct decision and you're going on the right direction. Christian, the same questions for you tonight. Yes, you are on the narrow road, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. But here's the, how's it going? How is it going for you tonight and the direction that you have chosen? It's good, it's great that you are following Jesus, that you have made that commitment, but the challenge tonight to you and to me is, how's it going for you and to me, and for you and for me, in the direction that we have chosen? We know the other way leads to destruction, we know that. But there's a challenge to you and to me that on this narrow road, we have a certain, we have to meet a certain credential along that road, friends. And it's so easy to go astray. It's so easy to be sidetracked. It's so easy. We heard about Wesley speaking about this this morning, but discouragement can come along. People get discouraged. God's people gets discouraged. Problems, strifes, fears, worries will come. But sometimes the life choices that we make lead to our problems that come in our lives. The life choices that we make, the roads, when you're going down the narrow road, it's so easy, friends, to, well, there's a road to the right I could go down, or there's a road to the left I could go down. And we don't really keep our eyes focused on Jesus. It sits behind, looking on to Jesus. And while we look on to Jesus, we're okay. But once we start to just go off the beaten path, our direction starts to go in a different way. Now, I'm not saying that it's a complete U-turn and you go the opposite way, although there are people get themselves into a state where it can lead to that. But we're just not following Jesus like we should and like we could. There's a group called Casting Crowns, and they have a song called Slow Fade. And it goes like this here. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And I think this is a warning for us all tonight. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade, Christian friend, when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to grey. Thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. Friends, people never crumble in a day. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. Young person, if you're in here tonight, be very careful of the world in which we live. And I know we all have to look out, but young people, particularly tonight, it's a slow fade. And you'll never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. You'll remember the wee song, I'm sure, from, I think it's the lead singer's daughter sings it at the very end of the piece. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little feet, where you go. Be vigilant, brothers and sisters. Young person, be vigilant. Switch on to it quickly when you go down the wrong route or the direction changes, even ever so slow, or even ever so gently. Get yourself back on track as quick as you can, because it's a slow fade and it will crumble. Your life will crumble if you don't get back on track quickly. Remain vigilant, friends. Of course, God doesn't just abandon us if we do start to stray. Proverbs 18 and 24, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and we know that, don't we? And that brings in the whistle. And I look at the whistle, and the whistle is used for correction on the football pitch. Somebody does something wrong, commits a foul. I'll not blow it in case I blow the ears of somebody in here tonight through the microphone. Somebody blow the whistle. You've done a foul. It's a warning. The whistle speaks to me of the Holy Spirit. The whistle speaks to me of the Holy Spirit speaking to me when I'm just not on it for God. You see, every step of the way in this slow fade or this direction that we're maybe going in the wrong way, God doesn't just abandon you. God just doesn't forget about you. God just doesn't let you drift on and drift on and drift on. The Holy Spirit will speak to you every step of the way. You'll hear his voice. It's like the whistle That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's a foul. That's a push. That's a shove. Away from me. You will hear the Holy Spirit. And the whistle speaks to me of the Holy Spirit. You will hear the whistle. It's not that you don't hear it. But unfortunately for us, and I speak to myself too, sometimes we choose to ignore the voice of God. And we just go on ahead and do our own thing anyway. Likewise, sinner friend, if you're in here tonight, the whistle is blowing again. The Holy Spirit is speaking for your soul. And it's another chance for you to come and hear. It's another chance for you to come in tonight and hear God's word. It's another chance tonight, friends, to hear God's voice, to hear the Holy Spirit calling you to Him. Are you outside of Christ? Can you hear the Holy Spirit tonight in our meeting? How many times in the past have you heard it? And you've done nothing about it up to now. How many more times will you hear it? 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says that now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. There's no guarantees, friends. You've heard it before. Will you hear it again? Will you hear it again? Going on to the watch now. Glenn quite rightly pointed out at the start that you have two of them. And I wear two. And I have one that goes from 0 to 45. And on the other hand, this one here goes backwards from 45 to 0. You see, during the game, coming up towards half-time and full-time, players will always be asking you, what time's left, Mark? Ref, what have we got? What's on the watch? Ref, how long have we got? And rather than have to try and make a calculation with this one, I like to have this one here that's kind of just look at it and say, 20 minutes, guys. 15 minutes. 10 minutes. 2 minutes. Sometimes you give somebody, to say, 15 minutes, guys. And a minute later, somebody over here asks, and I says, a minute less than I told your mate last, and a minute ago there, that's what we've got left. Frustrates me sometimes that. But no, they're always asking. What about our lives? You asking me tonight, Mark, what time have I left? What time have I got? It's all right in a football pack, 20 minutes, lads. I can't tell you tonight that you've got 20 years. I can't tell you tonight you've got 10 years, 30, 40, 5. I can't tell you that. Friends, death is no respecter of age. We've seen that. We've seen that in our own assembly. Caroline's gone on to be with the Lord. She wasn't an old lady by any stretch of the imagination. Yes, Caroline had some health issues, but she wasn't old. Death's no respecter of age, friends. We've had a tragedy in the borough of Ballymoney not so long ago when we were away on holidays. Child of two. Death's no respecter of age. Nobody can say how long any of us have got. You can't ask that question. The same as you can on a football pitch or on any sporting pitch. How long have we got? Of course, then we think about the Lord's return, Mark 13 and 32. Of that day, no one knows, not the angels, the Son, but only the Father. Yes, we're given many signs that we can maybe narrow it down a little or give us an idea. Days of Noah, Matthew 24 and 37, Luke 17 and 26, are the days of Lot, as in the days of Lot, as in the days of Noah. Days of Lot is Luke 17, 28. We talked about Lot earlier, didn't we? And there he's back in the picture again. Time, friends. Time. God just tells us, as in the days of Noah. A lot of you in here will know what those days were like. As in the days of Lot. Days of Lot were homosexuality. You're not allowed to say that now. There'll be people watching that and social media and things maybe tonight. I'm not pleased with someone standing up and saying that homosexuality is wrong. God says that as in the days of Lot, so it shall be just before Jesus returns. And I'm not going to say to you what I think about today's current situation. You answer that for yourselves, what that's like out there. What you see on TV, what you see in the media. The days in which we're in. Time, friends. Time. No one can give an answer. All we can do is be ready when the time comes. I'll move on to my two best friends. Perhaps maybe during the match, my only friends. Yellow, Mr. Yellow and Mr. Red. And if you do something untoward or it's a bookable offence, you'll get a yellow card. Your name will be taken and your name goes into the book. You'll know where I'm going with this now. Of course, if the misdemeanour is so bad, well then I'm afraid that you'll have to leave the field of play and you'll be sent and banished to the sidelines and you'll receive a red card. Yes, friends. The book. The book. Revelation 20 and 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Revelation 20 and 15. And anyone, listen friends, anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's one thing to be in a referee's book, but it's a completely different thing not to be in God's book, the book of life. Where are you tonight, dear sinner? I know people don't really want to be told that they're going to a lost eternity in this world in which we live. Oh, you can't tell us that. You can't say that. God's word tells us it, friends. And we got to tell it from our pulpits. Sadly, I think that it's maybe something that's a dying art almost. But it has to be told. Yes, friends, it's one thing to be in the referee's book. But there's books where all your misdemeanours are written in, and there'll be a day come. If you do not know Jesus, that will all be opened. That will be all revealed. However, if your name is in the Lamb's book of life, amen, friends, your transgressions have been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. One man, one way, the cross. Takes me back to what I said at the very start, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, it's a challenge to us as well as Christians, because when you think about our names being in your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. www.thisweeksermon.com.